I'm an organ recipient, and it's really cool, and you should be too if you're a licensed driver in Illinois. Pick up one of these over there, and I'm done. So. You should be a donor and a recipient. It's so wrong. Isn't it wrong for me to be here? It's weird that you're laughing, because I have wanted to be a comedian in different times, and most of my childhood study of reality was studying comics. And then I get into studying musicians, and they were just too geeky and weird. But the comedians, they could kind of take a story that everybody knew, and then when it's heavy, they make it light, and then they make you think sometimes, yeah, what's wrong with that? Or why do we buy houses when it's just a pile of stuff with a cover on it? And then we keep our stuff here while we go out and get more stuff. And it's one of the first comedy routines, and I've remembered it for 25, 30 years, because I'm like, yeah, what's up with this house stuff? You know? And so from a tiny little Catholic altar boy who was just getting by in school and went to the Catholic education and heard amazing truth, but it never sunk in, to being here going, oh my gosh, we just invited God's Spirit to come mess with us. We are kind of brave, aren't we? Because he does amazing things. In fact, I might get to it later. When you get an organ, one of the number one things is rejection. And I don't know why you can't just mentally, body, accept new parts. Your body is like prone to reject alien stuff. And that's why I think a lot of people who are like, I hear God talking. I've heard it over years. I just heard this song from the Book of Mormon musical. I'm a Mormon and I just believe, and that's what we do. And you can be one who just believes too. Just join us and trust in this book. And I'm like, sometimes Christians say stuff like that. Just believe. I'm like, I need more than that. I need more than just, I'm a Christian and you can too. I need to meet Jesus. I need to meet God. I need to see things that I can't account to politics, and I can't account to momentum and pride, and I can't account to selling CDs, and I can't account to anything of this earth. I need to connect with something that I can't blame on earth, you know, or something that goes beyond. In fact, thanks to my daughter, I was exposed to the Mormon the musical. It's a big hit right now about the Book of Mormon on Broadway. But my daughter got into musicals many moons ago. And on the night that I was going in for my transplant, she was having a rehearsal for the show she was in. And it was one of her first lead parts. And I was telling her before we went in to have the transplant done, I was telling her, don't let me get in your way. This is what you got to do. Let the show go on. And she's going to come up here and tell you the lyrics to the song that she sang that night. Or the song, her lead was to sing this song, and many people backed her up, I guess.
What do you want me to actually do?
You can speak. Tell them the words of the song you were singing.
Oh, I'm just reciting lyrics?
Or sing it, I don't care. If you had background singers, that would be so cool right now.
Stop trying to embarrass my friends, Doug. Okay. Well, there's a great new craze that's sweeping the nation. Come on, do circulation. It starts with your heart, what a great sensation. Come on, do circulation. Out through your arteries, into your veins. Your heart pumps the blood, then it does it again. So come on, everybody get it all.
Everybody.
Circulation. So come on, everybody.
Everybody.
Your body. For circulation. Circulation.
Any more? That's good. That's good. Give me a hug, though. So does this mean I can walk like around here like this, and the camera has to try and follow me? All right. And another thing to get me started is I went online, because a transplant or any kind of good close to death experience, it makes your perspective change. A good close to death. It's not always bad. Don't get mad at me yet, Wanda. So when you get a good perspective on life, or you get transported, or you have 500 or more people praying for you, you get some perspective. And anybody have a water gun? You can just shoot me and I won't. All right. I went online to see, you know what? I got this weird little passion. I'm interested in not just that people should be organ donors and tissue donors, but what an illustration for when you thought it was almost over, you had hope again. And I'm looking, and I don't know if I typed in religious metaphors for transplants or something on the internet, but it sent me to something the government started in 97, I want to say. Don't quote me on that or record this. But it was called the Donor Sabbath, and it was a government initiative to get more church people to become donors. And it's like, neat, cool, and it happened to be on my birthday and my transplant day. Pretty cool. I'm like, oh, this Donor Sabbath weekend. It's all about, this is such a coincidence. I'm just going to get into it. And I looked at it, and there was a letter to pastors or a little flyer saying why this is good, a generous gift. I was asking, why are they looking to churches for generosity? Why are they looking to churches for sacrifice? And I'm like, yeah, the state knows churches have generous, kind, selfless people. That is so cool, and it's a testimony to what the church has done for years. And I'm like, that's a cool little initiative to get more donors because people are not thinking about their self. They're not saying it's a free thing too. You won't be paid for your parts, you know. sometimes there's advertising things that you can get paid for, but to give something without expecting to get something back, I'm like, they are saying God's people are different. And they're not coming out and saying, because Jesus died for us, Christians sacrifice for other people. They didn't say that, but that's what I saw. And I'm going, oh man, I should just get involved in this. And I should, you know what, if 100 people sign up and give it to me, I can go get a job with the state. And they'll send me around and I'll have a job. You know, because I just wasn't interested in my old job anymore. It's kind of weird right now. And somewhere in one of the quiet times after that, I was thinking, how about instead of making donors out of believers, I get sent to make believers out of donors? Or who cares if they're donors? Let's make them believers. Because we have the ultimate donor. And so it was just, it turned into so many things. I just said, oh, I can't sit home and just think about this. I got to get out there and do something. So I put it on Facebook. Does anyone want me to connect all these great transplant metaphors and illustrations with the gospel? Because it seems like that's the only thing I know these days, is the gospel and the medical thing that I went through. And as I'm thinking about the medical thing I went through, I remembered my friend Mike Lund. And I'm going to invite Mike Lund up here. And Mike Lund...
I'm not going to say it.
Go ahead, stand right there. You're good. Do you need a stool or anything?
No, I'm fine.
See, on next Sunday, Mike is celebrating his first anniversary of having a new heart transplanted in his body. Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
Thank you. That's all you need.
Yeah, being 2 years out, I forgot what it's like to be a one-year-old, you know? having a three-year-old toddler... I'm remembering, oh, crap, I had to learn that. And, he's learning things. I'm going, oh, that didn't just come naturally. Someone had to teach me how to do that. So even in the faith, I'm going, oh, how many times we just say cliches. We got Christian bumper stickers and songs. And it's like, oh, wait a second. We had to learn that. We weren't just born with a heart that naturally chooses to seek him and love. Anyway, enough about native hearts, because that's a word we learned when we went to be examined for our issues. But I brought Mike here because I wanted to share that his story is different than mine. And I'm going to point out the things that I know are a little different, and then he can clarify some things. I'm going to say, where were you when you started noticing heart problems? You can say geographically or even
health-wise, whatever. Well, let's see. We were up in Wisconsin, in Washington Island. Yeah. Up at Top Door County and take ferry across there. And interesting thing is, when you go somewhere that's semi-remote, you never think about is there a good hospital? Doesn't come to your mind, you know, I'm going to celebrate and have fun with my family and, you know, checking the local hospitals and police force and stuff. It's not on your mind. So anyway, then I finished there. But we went up there to celebrate my wife's 40th birthday, my niece's first birthday, and my brother-in-law's birthday. And so we're up there, and we're having a great time. And on Sunday, which is actually my wife's birthday, we were sleeping in these cabins, and, you know, the beds were kind of rough. So we woke up Saturday morning, and I, you know, felt some pain in my chest, but you know, didn't think much of it. I thought, oh, this is, you know, bad bed, bad sleeping. So the next day I woke up, and same kind of thing. I thought, you know, and I just kind of felt worse and worse through the day. More pain in my chest. It kind of started spreading down my arms. And this is September 2011. And so we were going to, you know, we went out, we did some breakfast stuff, and we celebrated my wife's birthday. And I went to take a nap, and then I got up. And so I'm not thinking about, do I feel sick? What's going on? You know, I'm just kind of going through it. I'm 41 years old. You know, so I'm not thinking about anything. And it's 50 degrees out, and I'm sitting around, and I start sweating buckets. And I'm thinking, this is not right. It's 50 degrees out. And so we called a clinic. And the clinic said, oh, you know, take a couple of baby aspirins, call us in about 20 minutes. And I went through my sister. I said, no, I don't think you call any ambulance. And mind you, this is an island. So they called the ambulance. Everybody came. You know, and they were, you know, I guess excited because they don't get much action. They're all in there and they're like trying to use all the equipment that they, you know, don't have much experience with. They're flashing their masks on me. They got me into the car. They're like, let's get him down the stairs. Well, I'm not going to fit because it was kind of a mobile home kind of thing. Okay, go that way. You got to go this way. And the whole time, I'm just kind of, you know, just sitting there breathing. And I'm getting in the ambulance, and the happened to be the last ferry off of the island, so we got on an ambulance. I rode an ambulance on a ferry, so I knocked that one off the belt. Everyone else has done that before. So then I got off the ferry, got on another ambulance, and then we went down to Sturgeon Bay, and they said, oh, you're having a heart attack. And I was like, yes, thank you, I know that now. And then got another ferry and went to Green Bay. And at Green Bay, they treated me. And another ferry, I mean, an ambulance. And they treated me down there, and I got stint. And long story short, I don't want to give Joe plenty of time. I don't want to spend my whole time.
Well, then let me ask you, like, could that lead into the next area? What, you had a heart attack.
I did.
And then, do you have blockage in your veins? And
I had 100% blockage in my LAD, which they call the Widowmaker. And most people don't survive. And I was...
And then a Widowmaker and a ferry and ambulance.
Yes.
All of them. Odds against
it. Yes, they were. It was about 7 hours between the time I really started having a heart attack and I actually got to Green Bay. And the next day, the doctors came to my room and told me, you're lucky to be alive. And the interesting thing is, the whole time I was in the ambulance, the whole ride down, it was about a 2-hour ride, I guess. I was feeling okay. You know, they were giving me the nitro and all that stuff. Talking to the ambulance personnel in there and joking with them. And I never felt like I was going to die. I felt like there was an angel watching over me, or something was watching over me, you know. And not long before that, I had kind of just come to the Lord. I'd always been involved in church, and I'd always, you know, kind of just, you know, heard one ear out the other kind of thing. I was involved. I did a lot of things in the church, but I never listened. And, you know, it wasn't until 6 months before that I started to really listen. And, you know, the Lord woke me up. And I felt safe the whole time, which was...
Sometimes he punctuates us trusting him or seeking him with, here's a good job and here's a great wife, like me.
Yeah.
Here's a heart attack.
Yes. You're going to learn how to trust me.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You know, I look back, 2020, of course, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, waking me up. Like, hey, you know, I'm here. You saw me the whole time, and you see it. I always look for it, you know. And even after that, when I was in the hospital and all the things in the hospital, I kept thinking about it. You know, and before I had really come to the Lord, I always thought, I'm only going to come if I see one big miracle. You got to slap it in front of my face, huge building, and I don't want to see it. No, I want to see it, just present the whole thing. And what I saw was all the little miracles. Every one of them. And people, everything that happened to me, people came together, so many people prayed, so many people sent us money, and we needed it. They were all there. And all of these little miracles, every one of his, every one that he gave us. And when I saw that, you know, oof, it was like the nuclear light bulb, ultra light bulb.
Well, to show you how spontaneous I am, last week,
not going to sing.
My family and I were going to sing and do a kind of a longer presentation at a church in Geneva last week, and they froze over, and you know they were a small enough church where they could just call everybody and say, we're not meeting. And and I came here, and Randy said, Joe's going to bring a presentation. And I go, oh, a presentation? I have expectations of what a presentation is. I don't have expectations when I'm just going to share what's in my heart. That's not, you know, I like no expectations. It means I can't mess up. And so I don't know what your expectations are of a preaching today, but I'll get there. I'll get to even why I think I should preach today. Can you read that? But I put together like 25 slides, and I was going to say, hey, look at this. This is how a heart fails. You had heart failure, right?
I did.
Okay, so after the heart attack, he was suffering from heart failure. Yep. And how do they measure heart failure? Wait, I might have it on a slide.
Ejection fraction rate.
Ejection fraction rate. Okay, that's good heart. That's why we had Kyra up here. The good heart, vital for life, responsible for delivering nutrients to the other parts of the body, and also responsible for pulling away the toxins and the carbon dioxide. So we got to the part, purified part. Cool. Oh, so the heart is connected to the head. When you say, oh, I got to run, or a dog's jumping out at me, your brain tells your heart, speed up, get the legs moving, you know, all that stuff. So it's connected to the head. Remember that. The heart is
the biggest nerve.
The what nerve?
The biggest nerve.
The biggest nerve. All right. What a coincidence. That's where I was. No. So then we got into, I was going to have him talk about symptoms. It was cool. He had pain in his chest. I had really high heart rate, and I had no pulse, and I turned white, and it was my wife's birthday. That's weird. So the moral of the story is don't do things on your wife's birthday. And then we went to doctors. I'll ask that later. Why would we go to a doctor? Why would we call an ambulance? Somebody who might know more than we know about this, right? Cool. So we got tests done, and they come in and they say, you have... Here, I'll just show this to you, because I learned last night that I wasn't going to get through all these slides talking about our body. So, variety of tests. You can just read along. If something stands out, you can ask me later, because we got to cut a lot of... All right, here's the EF, my favorite part. Ejection fraction. That means of what your heart takes in and what it puts out. Normal, healthy hearts, and save that idea for later. Normal, healthy Christians. Okay. Normal, healthy hearts put out between 55 and 75% of the blood that's in them.
To the body.
Yeah, it sends it out to the rest of the body. Hearts like yours was doing what?
5%.
5. I thought I was low. I was at 32 or something like this, right? Wow. So he's at 5%. And...
I couldn't walk from one side of the room to the other without bending over.
Yeah, me, I was in the middle of singing a worship song, and I was able to finish two or three songs, hang out with people, and then go, oh, this is not right. And then I went home just to rest. And then my nurse aunt says to me, you are whiter than white, and you have no pulse, and you're shaking. So it was a good idea that I went to the emergency room, and we went to these so-called experts, right? Because they were dedicated their life to this stuff. And we said, what's wrong with us? And what they tell you to do? They said, your heart really stinks. You're going to die. We got to attach you to something.
Oh, they put me on an LVAD.
They injected it. They put a machine in him that would pump his blood for him. You know how some heartbeats go? Well, my heartbeat was going. It was like if the band was, every member was playing a different song, right? Like jazz. And now you know why we named our third kid Jazz. Because he came along right after my heart decided to play different songs. And this is so cool that the band is made up of many parts, because they can't all do the same thing. But they do have, when they're on the same song, it's awesome, isn't it? Isn't it better when the band plays the same song? A little later, I'm going to try and join them, and I might throw them a loop and play a different song, but that's just me. So EF, ejection fraction, they said, here's what's going to happen. They probably never told you, hey, you might come back from this. They said, we got to plug in a machine that's going to pump your blood for you. His heartbeat was, all right. Pretty weird. You know, do you want to hear Mike's heartbeat? We had the opportunity to trust or doubt their diagnosis. We also did some research. Hey, talk to other doctors. Talk to other, you know, look online. Hey, is this normal for someone who has this ejection fraction to get a pump? Is it normal for a guy like me to take some drugs and they put in a pacemaker to set my tempos right? And they were trying to heal my heart. And they were trying to get my heart to perform like a normal heart. So how did that work out for you? They just said, get on the list. Wait for a new heart. We're not going to fix the old one. For me, they said, we're going to try and fix your old one while we're seeing if you qualify for a new one. And new means new to me. Somebody else had raised it from a child. crazy, isn't it? The heart beating in me right now was in somebody else's womb. I mean, beating in his mom's or her mom's room. And my donor is not going to come up as a guest today. Sorry, that's a little crude, isn't it? So they did some things to see, hey, do you qualify for a heart? The powers that be said, hey, you got some, we got to make sure that when we put this in, it's going to work. We're gonna make sure that you're not just a guy who's going to abuse it. You've got other parts that are going to, that don't work. They want to make sure it was part of other parts that work. Some of you that maybe have changed churches might know about joining up with other parts that work. So then they come and they say, hey, we have good news for you. How long were you waiting for your heart?
14 months.
14 months! Anybody wrestling with Jesus for 14 months? That's more my story. 14 years? Anyway, I waited on the list for 2 days. Pretty weird. And I needed it because I was on the fence. Everybody was telling me, nah, you don't need, I mean, not everybody, but there were a lot of alternative things coming out at that time. And we're like, gosh, should we wait? And sure enough, we got the call, and my wife and I are looking at each other going, do you reject the good news? I mean, you were putting your hope in getting a new heart. When it comes, do you reject it? Because it's going to come with a lot of cost. Did you have good insurance?
Yes.
I didn't. So I'm gonna just kind of throw some of these up here and see what happens with, you know, I'm going to go to reception after that. Anything else you want to add right now?
Be a donor.
Oh, okay, cool. Get a flyer from the hall, sign up.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll talk to you later. Mike Lund. Yeah, simplest thing you can do is be a donor. Maybe even simpler is just, you know, give Mike a dollar and pray for me. You know, there's simpler things. But each people, I don't expect the same thing of everybody. I was thinking about, what am I going to do to preach here? And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to kind of like put everything up here and like poke it like a piñata and see who comes and gathers candy and who wants some. Or who wants to sit back and go, I ain't getting no candy. You know, because you know those people. I'm going to act like a fool even though I want candy. I'm not going to fight other people for it. And then I thought, you know what, how about a buffet? We just spread stuff out and somebody can take as much as they want. So I have one thing for everybody, and I have that are small, and then I have like something about this big for about 15 of you, and then I got something huge for 5 of you, but I'm not going to tell you what I got for you. You got to sort that out. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust you to do some calculating in your head, to do some searching in your heart. We honestly prayed in song earlier, hey, come here, Lord. You know, I can't remember some of the words, but I'd say the first song. We're going to do a song pretty soon. You know what? It might be, you know what? Let's save it. We'll save it till later. Because it's good to just go with the flow. Why am I preaching here today? I'll tell you why. Printed up all these slides, looked at it, and went, no way, man. This would be so cool if I had practiced it and fine-tuned it, and I knew what Mike was going to say, and we had 2 hours. I had 2 hours of slides going here, and I'm going, this is going to be ugly. They're going to kill me. And I'm also going, wait, maybe I should be the guy that says, here, I'm not here to please you people. I'm here to preach. And sometimes I'm like that with my pastors. I'm like, you said that just to make someone happy. Instead of, you should say that and really challenge me. Right? Sometimes the challenging day is hard to take. But let me tell you what encouraged me to actually get up this morning. Because, man, I was not, it was not looking good last night. 1 Corinthians 1:17. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Yeah. Let me give you another one. I want to say it's 1 Peter. Let's see. I should have just been typing these up all night instead of making these cute little revelation slides. See what happens when I try to prepare a presentation? In your heart, set Christ apart as Lord. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. When we had hope that we were going to get a heart, our reason was the doctor said we might find you a heart, and the whole state has, you know, there's commercials on hearts, and there's success stories on hearts being transplanted. And our hope was science, people die. Our hope was that someone would die. That was a weird prayer. Lord, let our heart wait. Someone's going to die. I'm praying someone dies. Whose heart fits in my chest cavity and my blood types. That was a weird prayer. But there was hope that we would get our life back, that our parts, our body parts would function. My symptoms, man, they were all across the board. Maybe I'll get into that again later. Anyone who asks, give the reason for the hope that you have. I'm going to stop and say, what is the hope that you have? Is it hope that we can become, and not to put you on the spot, Adam, a successful Christian artist, a pastor who has recordings and books. I'm in a band myself. Sell the CDs. My hope is to sell the CDs and then live a life where we don't have to, you know, cut corners and budget things and deny our kids happy meals. You know, and that would be nice, but what is the hope that lies within us in the spiritual realm? Look, and you can look this up on your own, 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul starts talking about the hope of resurrection. You know what? When I got close enough to death, where I was like, this is cool. God shows up and says, I got today covered, and I got tomorrow covered whether you wake up from this surgery or not. So he's got that covered, and I don't seek that. See if it's true. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I talk to the theologians around here. We have a few. So what is your hope? Do it with gentleness. When you're sharing your hope, do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than doing evil. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. You kind of want to stop and talk about the Spirit right now, because I'm a natural skeptic. If I were to say I this or I that, it would probably be, well, my natural tendency is to doubt. My natural tendency is to think that pastors have something to sell me. It's, you know, I took a bunch of marketing courses, and it all had to do with find out what people want, find out how they think, find out how they react to certain colors, and then get them to buy your stuff. Not that they need your stuff and you're delivering what they need, but you want to make money off of them, so find out what they want and give it to them. honestly, I have to admit, in Christian thinking, in Christian music thinking, Christian marketing, pastoral stuff, I had a Christian t-shirt company, well, I called it that. I had a t-shirt company. In marketing to people, it was me focused. It was, how do I get it from them to me? How do, you know, I don't know if you're a pastor of a big church and you came to visit, but hey, what's the motivation? What is the, are we promoting the Spirit? Are we giving the Spirit, or are we taking from the church? And honestly, out of the 20 years I've been coming to church, many times I sit there and go, oh, I didn't get anything out of it. Instead of, man, seeking God the other 6 days of the week and saying, how can I give here? How can I practice giving here so that it gets better and easier and faster and more efficient when I go out in the world for me to give to the world? So in why am I preaching? It's also, guess what, guys? You could be preaching too. You know? Sorry to do this, but each one of you, I'm expecting to preach next week. No, wait. I won't be. Over the year, we'll have 50 different people preaching. Wouldn't that be cool? In a year to have 50 different preachers? Or do it at your job. How do you do it at your job? I don't know. Think of what you were when you were called. 1 Corinthians 1:26. You were not wise by human standards. You were not influential. You were not of noble birth. But God chose the foolish thing of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose lowly things and despised things. Did I just qualify somebody or disqualify somebody? No one may boast. No one may boast before Him. We boast in the Lord. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. I tell you, I've heard it. I've heard it. He pastors a church with 27,000 people. Yay! I don't know. What about he led 5 people to Christ. He led his family to Christ. My number one goal for my kids right now is that they know Him and they seek Him. Because when it comes to them making difficult decisions when I'm not around, they can either have tradition or the presence of God. One, I think, is bigger than the other. And honest, I don't want to get specific, but think of the things that we're going, oh, our church stumbles in this area, or my daughter is this, and I'm not sure if my son should watch that movie, or I don't know. And all these little issues of the world, we're going, what if he's walking with Christ and failing school? But he's walking with Christ. It's tough. And he is really pruning a lot of things out of my head. But I'm not saying he has to do it for you right now. You can do your thing after your own transplant, you know? And I'll give you one a little bit later. Not like with a bone saw and a bunch of scissors and stuff. It's kind of gross. Watch one on YouTube. I haven't been able to, but if you can, tell me about it. I'd like to see your reaction to watching a heart transplant. It's really weird. If you have a stomach for that sort of thing and a purpose. So, 2 Corinthians 3. Do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. All right, so I'm just going to cut right to the heart of the matter. Our old heart, our old spiritual heart. And, you know, there's something about me speaking from my experience. And I was going to do a lot of that and just kind of slowly cushion you guys in, and you know, we went to a pool this week and it was cold, and you put your toe in, right? Or who jumps in the pool? Raise your hand. I jump in because I can't handle this. Ah! And then when it gets to about here, you're like, ah! You know? Well, I was testing the waters out. I like being out here. This is kind of cool. I can make you guys uncomfortable. But instead of one step in, I'm gonna jump. We're gonna jump in. Yeah, this is better. Sit comfortably. Read you a little story. Oh, there's so many stories. Jeremiah 17:9. And this is about you, about me. What's our natural heart towards God? Oh, I should give you that definition of heart. Isn't it kind of weird that the Greek word or Hebrew word or whatever I looked up is like cardia? And we have all these cardiologists and stuff. So like the Bible has the word heart. And it's basically the heart, when you're talking about in the world, is the center of something. Whatever it is. You know, you could have a heart of a spare, not of asparagus. What's the heart? Artichoke heart. It's in the center. You could have the heart of a church. He's the heart of our team. He's the, you know, so we got the heart. The heart is basically the center of thing. But in this, in what, the way he's talking about it in the scriptures is always like the motive. Why, where you sit and make your reasoning from and your decisions from. And hopefully you ever like center of gravity kind of thing. You know, it's like it's who you are. It's the meat of everything. So the meat of your faith, let's look at the heart of our faith. And let's look at our condition. I'm confusing? Oh, it's not working anyway. But before I start, I want to say, blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Matthew 5:8. I'm not sure which of you are the pure of heart that's talking about here, but man, go for it. You're pure of heart, go for it. Just do it. I'm not here to accuse you of being non-pure of heart, but if you know your pure heart, you know your pure heart, don't listen to me. Go do your thing. But if you're not pure of heart, or if you want to see if maybe you're in the more of the Gentile category, or the ones who are like, hey, I like sin. I'm prone to it. I practiced it for years. And I'm, you know, maybe I'm good at it. Man, I find ways to cover it up. Ah, man. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Romans 2:5, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give each person according to what he has done. Oh, before Christ, that was so scary. Okay. All of man's ways, Proverbs 21:2, all of man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Oh man, that one just kind of cut me right in the stomach. Friendship with the world. Okay, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? Maybe I didn't pre-read that for a reason. He gives us more grace. God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Pride, man. We encourage pride in this country. We encourage it in our schools. We encourage it. And pride is different. There's kind of like two different types of pride. And I'm just thinking about the, I will stand on my own. I'm proud of my daughter, man. She's rocking out the Peter Pan next month. Everybody buy your tickets now and credit pet it so that we don't have to pay for her to get her go to her classes. or if you want to meet the other people in the... Anyway, so... I'm proud of her. She was on a stage singing before 1,000 people, and I'm going, man, that's my daughter. I wasn't singing the song, though, you know. We can go, hey, I'm in church. I go to such and such a church, and it has such and such happening there. I'm proud. And then there's the pride that says, I don't need new heart. I don't need you, God. I don't need to study. I don't need to surrender. I just need to add you to my life. I need to ask Jesus into my heart. I don't need to receive God's new heart. Have you asked Jesus in your heart? Wow, I did that. But then guess what happened? I asked him to leave too. You know? And remember when I was telling you about the things that the medical teams added to our old hearts to try and make them perform? I'm totally guilty of this. And I'm only talking to you because I've been sitting in every different level of this over the last 20 years. I've tried to add Christian stuff to my life and called it transformation. I went from worshiping, you know, secular musicians to worshiping Christian musicians. Whatever he's doing, I got to be there. You know, I was worshiping, you know, the Catholic leadership. Now I'm worshiping another leadership. And I'm going, wait, who am I worshiping here? And how do I get past the clutter and see God's heart and then receive his heart? And I don't know if I'm done receiving everything he's got for me, but wow, for me to love people that I once hated blows me away. For me to not get caught up into some debate about some whatever and to just be slow to speak and say, you know, instead of you guys arguing about why you complained about her and she complained about you, if we were walking in the Spirit, would this even be an issue? if I was walking in the Spirit, would I demand my church perform a certain, produce a product that I would receive? Or would I be the product that the church is sending? And am I refreshing like a good heart does? Am I refreshing? Am I purifying other parts of the body? Am I saying, hey, you know what? I can only tell you this because I love you. Don't go to those movies anymore. That's just not good. Hey, I don't know how you got to this point, but it's not. There is hope. There is. So when it comes to refreshing, we need a new heart, individually, corporately, universally. We need a new heart. We need God's heart. We need God's heart. And how do we recognize it? Wait, I got more about how bad our hearts are. They thought they knew God. They never glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. Their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's me. And I hope it doesn't happen again. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, exchanged the glory of God for images made to look like mortal men. You guys buy People magazine. I'm not going to make fun of that, all right. But why? Why are we looking to celebrities? And even Christian celebrities. Seriously, we have Christian celebrities. I wanted to become one once, so it tells you how good. I'm leaning towards the mic. Are you making fun of me, Kyra, because I'm going by the mic? All right. You're just trying to see me around tall Benji. All right. No servant can serve two masters. He will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. He said to the Pharisees, "You justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts." You know, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more on just our old hearts. All right, now I'm going to check my motives. Galatians 1:10. Am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? The gospel I preach is not something man made up. I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it. This is Paul talking to Galatians. I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So what about a new heart? Maybe you're one of these guys who just, Joe, don't give me the whole story. Just give me a little. Mark 9:24. Help my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. I kind of get it. I want it. Help me with, I just can't jump in. I just can't jump in. I don't know. I need, push me in. Push me in the water, God. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim not to have sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. You know what? I'll give one more. Now, what do we do? You know, I'm going to take a second and just ask the band to come up. That's what I'm going to do. And they're going to do a song called Be Still. And during this Be Still, I've said a lot of things, but hopefully God has had something that settles in your heart. And it might be something in your heart that you're like, I haven't heard anybody else confess this today, or there's something new. You know, there's not a church ministry that says, you know, hey, we have a hypocrite ministry. Where do you go if you're struggling with hypocrisy? Do we have a special hypocrisy? No, that's the general flow of the blood. And there's power in the blood. Let's receive something from Him and see what He has to do, and then maybe God will give me a way to clean this up or summarize this. Ezekiel 11 does not say, I will put them in cool churches where the music rocks. They will try harder and harder and harder, and their hearts will be clean. They will speak truth to people because they studied it really well. It says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove them from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Isn't it cool how what sometimes we apply to the outside first, we get our kids, don't say those words, instead of, hey, don't need to say those words. You're not thinking those thoughts. You know? We try, you know, as a young kid, I was nervous that Jesus was going to be like Santa Claus. They just made him up to make me act good around this time of year. They were trying to scare me into behaving. But instead of behave because I said so, behave because he has given you an undivided heart and gave you a new spirit. You don't even have to think about behaving, you just do it. I love it when he does that to me and I go, why did I just say the right thing instead of the wrong thing? Why did I just look away from the naked girl? When normally my natural thing is, hey, you know? Why would I do something that my natural heart... Is he giving me a new heart? They will follow my decrees and they will be careful to keep his laws. Man, we got a lot of laws in Jewish history, even modern day Christian stuff. We got a lot of laws. Don't be in a car with a woman. That's not your wife. Oh, okay, where is that in the Bible? Well, I see where the principle's there, but now I'm going, but I got to give so-and-so a ride, or I offered, oh. So deny the service or check my heart. I check my heart and I go, my motives are pure. She takes it wrong. I don't know what the heck is, you know, is that my business? I don't know. Maybe one of my pastors will come up and say, yes, that's your business. Don't let her think that you want to give her a ride because she's a woman or whatever. We got a lot of laws. They will be my people and I will be their God. Man, that's awesome that we can be his people. So this is the good stuff that I'm going to ask you guys to do today. And it's 1 Peter 2:9. Declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I said I should do this by heart, shouldn't I? All right. Hey, he's 13. I got to train him in the ways of the... Yeah, vaudevillians. Thanks for letting me use this hat.
I once was fatherless, a stranger with no hope. Your kindness awakened me, awakened me from my sleep. Victory! grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.